المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty Maker, Creator, Sustainer of the Universe, our Rabb, our Khalik, our Malik, Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah the All-Powerful, the Most Honorable, the Most Esteemed, the Magnificent, the Supreme Allah, Allah who is one. We say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. All of us believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the indivisible unity and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not broken up or divided into parts and portions. Allah is not human. Allah is divine. Allah is supreme. Allah is uncreated. So we cannot describe Allah, because Allah is not made of matter. Allah is not made of body. Allah is not made of fluids. Allah is not made of solids. Only Allah knows of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you and I know is Allah is the all creator and the all sustainer. Everything lives and breathes and survives by the will and the qudra and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we worship only one Allah, for there cannot be more than one Allah. Allah is one, absolute one, indivisible one, all-powerful one. As we proceed with tonight's talk, we send darud and salam upon the final messenger of Allah, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also send greetings upon, and our thoughts are with, the wonderful companions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the male and the female sahabas and sahabiyat, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with all of them. The Ahlul Bayt, the family of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with all of them as well. Then we think also, as we proceed with our talk, of the tabi'in and tabi' tabi'in, the successors of the sahabas who are known as tabi'in, tabi'i, tabi'in, and their successors known as the tabi' tabi'in. That's the golden generation of Muslimin, the people who sacrifice their lives for the sake, all their work, all their time, for the sake of spreading the message, the deen of Islam. They took Tawheed to all the corners of the globe, of this world, of this planet Earth. Islam spread in the three generations of Muslimin, which we call the golden era of the spread of Islam. The first three centuries of the Islamic era, the period of the Sahaba Ikram, Tabi'in Ikram, Tabi' Tabi'in Ikram, throughout this world. Empires came crashing down, crushed by the spirituality, a spiritual strength. Muslims at that time did not have arms and ammunition. They did not have the power of munitions and arms and force and power. What was it that created the spread of Islam, caused the spread of Islam? The work of da'wat and tabligh throughout the world, to every nation, more than 70 nations of the world, Islam spread throughout. It touched Europe, Asia, the Far East, the whole of Africa, and it is supposed that it went into certain parts of what we call the New World as well. In those ancient days, the Tabi'in and Tabi' Tabi'in Ikram took it across to the Americas and other all the islands of the world as well. This world is dotted by thousands of islands. Many of those islands converted to Islam as a result of the work of da'wat and tabligh of the early generations of Muslimin. They brought light to a darkened world, a world that was sunk in shirk and in kufr, in the darkness of shirk and kufr. You cannot believe the pagan beliefs that existed in those times. how far people had strayed away from the teachings of Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat of 124,000 messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many revealed kitabs, testaments and books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man had gone astray. Man had become misguided. Man had been misled. Two people were largely responsible, or two groups were largely responsible for this kind of misleading and straying of mankind. One was the forces of the evil, disbelieving, rebellious jinns called the shayateen. And the second lot was the evil-minded amongst mankind. The evil minds who had become the slaves of their nafs, of this dunya, of pleasure, of immorality, of corruption, of devastation of humanity and the honor that Allah had bestowed upon humanity. They had sunk to the lowest levels, to animality, becoming and behaving like animals. They had lost all sight of human dignity. They had lowered themselves to lower than the beasts and the animals of the world. And of course, these two forces combined to produce shirk and kufr throughout the world. So shirk and kufr is an innovation. It is the making of man. It is not God ordained. It has no divine approval. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, there is one unforgivable sin. I will never forgive that sin, which is shirk. Allah will never forgive. To make partnership and association with Allah, or to say that Allah has a son or daughter, Allah has children, Allah has parents, that is the most heinous sin that any human can create, can make, can believe in, and that is subject to the greatest wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man had sunk to those levels throughout the world. Tawheed had almost disappeared. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam had made dua when he built the Kaaba, together with his son Ismail alayhi salam. Father makes dua and the son says Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And that dua was that, O Allah, let in my progeny, in my children, appear imams, a'imma, leaders of the people. And O Allah, let this true religion of Islam, religion of peace, spread throughout the world. And let such a messenger, a message bringer, appear in the horizon, appear in this world, in my children. And that, you know, subsequently he had two children, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, his eldest and most beloved son, and then Ishaq alayhi salam, his second son, his second born. And you know the story, what happened. Prophets kept appearing, messengers of Allah kept appearing in the generations of Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. For generations and generations, hundreds of prophets appeared, but in the generations of Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, no prophets appeared. From the one brother, Ishaq, appeared hundreds of messengers, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but from Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, none appeared. Until the final one appeared, the greatest of them all, Sayyidul Anbiya, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he became the Sayyidul Anbiya, the leader, the chief of all the messengers and prophets. And Khatimun Nabiyyin, Allah said, the seal of prophethood. Prophethood now ends with the Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the stamp of discontinuity, of finality, was and came with the appearance of the final messenger of Allah, Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inspired by the farewell message on the final pilgrimage Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ikram were formed, brought together, inspired by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the farewell message which he delivered in the one and only Hajj that he performed. And on Arafat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered the message that you take my message, my teachings, my practices, my every word, my every action, my every deed, and spread it throughout the world. Sahaba ikram were encouraged and inspired by the words and the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They went back to Medina Munawwara, and believe it or not, this is absolute haq, history bears it out. They went to their wives, kissed them, hugged their children, kissed their children. Imagine how difficult this is. Every father loves his children. And they went and kissed their children, hugged their children, and took farewell from their wives and their children and their homes and their businesses and their incomes and their lands and their orchards. They were date farmers. They had orchards flourishing. They had vineyards. They owned so many, mostly date palm, date orchards. That was their income. Everything tawakkal alallah. Oh my wife, oh my sons, oh my children, you manage, you see to the family. We are departing for our Rasul. The Messenger of Allah has given us a mission, and that is to take ballighu anni walau aya. Even if it is one verse, one teaching, you take it and spread it throughout the world. The whole world is in darkness. Our Rasul has given us a message, and that message is to take the deen of Islam and spread it throughout the world. We are going. Somewhere bound for Africa, somewhere bound for Asia, somewhere bound for Europe. And out they went, and went to every nation of the world. Imagine, no, the only language they know is Arabic language. A few knew a few other European languages. Some knew a little bit of Greek. Some knew a few other languages of the time and the period, like such as some knew a little bit of French, those who came from that side. Some knew a little bit of Russian, some knew a little bit of Chinese languages, because they used to go and trade in those countries and those lands. Some knew some African languages. Those who knew the African languages came to Africa. Those who knew European languages, Greek and so on, Latin and so on, they went into the north, into Europe. Those who knew Asian languages went into Asia. The whole world was open to them. Sahabas departed in different directions altogether in six different, they made out deputations and delegations, six groups. And they said those who have traveled and those who have traded in those different parts of the world, you form your delegations and you move in that particular, because you know the area, you know the people know you, and let us go. And so they spread out, leaving only a handful to remain in Medina, and off they went to take the message of Islam. What was the message of Islam? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. O nations of the world, O nations of Europe, Asia, and Africa, we have come with the message. We have come to bring you light. We are inspired by the words of the Messenger of Allah, and that is that we need to proclaim throughout the world, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. With this they went throughout the world. You know, read history and you will find within one century, the conquest of Europe, the whole of Europe, the whole of Asia. Tumbling down came the most powerful empire in Europe, the Roman Empire, Greco-Roman Empire, came tumbling down. Persian Empire established after centuries, it took them to establish one of the most magnificent empires of the day. came crashing down. And mostly the Persian Empire came crashing down because the ruler, the emperor of Persia, tore up the letter of invitation to Islam of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad Rasulullah. He tore it into pieces in fury. Who is this man of the desert that dares to invite me to the religion of Islam? Who is he? And he tore the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into pieces when it was presented by the ambassador of one of the Sahaba ikram, the ambassador of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it was presented to the emperor at that time, he tore it into shreds. And when came back, the ambassador came back, the Sahabi came back and reported this matter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was hurt, he's only human, he was hurt. And he said, as he has torn my letter, so Allah will tear his empire into shreds. Wallahi, the Persian Empire was torn into shreds. The wealth, the treasures of the Persian Empire was eventually, within a few years, brought and piled up in the courtyard of the Masjid-e-Nabawi. All the wealth was brought there. That is how it came tumbling down, and the Persian Empire went out of existence. African Empire accepted Islam. The Asian empires were filled with nur and light of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Imagine now in this day and age when we have the ability, the technical expertise, the knowledge, the science and the technology that we have today, 1.5 billion Muslims are finding great difficulty to spread the Tawheed and the Risalat, the Kalima of Islam in the world. You know why? Because we are caught up and trapped in our own selves, in our selfishness, in this dunya, and our vision has become limited. So maybe we have committed profanity in the fact that we have become so materialistic that we do not see the power of spirituality, the power of da'wat, the power of tabligh, and the power that Islam carries and the kalima carries and tawheed carries and risalat carries to take the message of the deen of Islam to the nations of the world that are hungry and thirsty for the message of Islam. More hungry and thirsty than ever before. Now look at the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah's plan for him. O Muslimin, you may not want to do the work. You may not want to spread the message of Islam, of Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat. Maybe you don't want to. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take work from even the enemies of Islam. Subhanallah, can you see? Every home today, and I say qasam when I say this to you, wallahi, every home today, Muslim and non-Muslim, is receiving the message of the deen of Islam. Allah is using every means of media and communication to bring notice of Islam. Everyone is learning of the deen of Islam. Whether Islam is being portrayed as a terrorism or whatever else, people are being supposedly by the media and the kuffar governments being filled with fear for Islam. You know what impact it has? Exactly the opposite. People are filled. Who are these Muslims? Go around Cape Town, go into the townships, you will see the name of Bin Laden. They just call him Bin Laden. Sprayed on the walls everywhere. Osama's name has become famous. People are imitating him. We didn't do that. Who did the work for us? People call him a hero. And that is the majority of the people. Everybody wants to know. Islam is spreading. People are asking the question, we have Muslim neighbors, We live in a neighborhood that has Muslims living there. They are a peaceful people. They go to mosque 5 times a day. We go once a week, once a month, once a year. Only on Christmas Day, perhaps we go, or on Easter Friday or Easter Monday we go to church. But these Muslims go 5 times a day to their church, to their masjid. Amazing, is it not? They are a peace loving. We've never heard, we've never seen. We go, every shop, every supermarket is owned by Muslims in general. We are not terrified by them. They don't appear as terrorists. We do a lot of business with them. So what is it? People are learning of Islam as never before. It defies the law. It defies the law of nonsense, of mischief making, and terrifying people with Islam, the way Islam is spreading. The Sahabas, Tabi'in and Tabi' Tabi'in al-Karam did the work at that time. Look how the work is being done. What you and I cannot afford, the means of electronic media, newspapers, magazines, radio, television, satellite communication, internet. Go and see how many websites there are, Muslim websites there are. Thousands. Islam is on the march. And do you know something else? I know you are aware of this. Thousands. Let me correct myself. Millions of non-Muslims today have become deeply interested in this deen, in this religion of Islam. Not by our doing, not by our work, not by our propagation, not by our preaching, not even by our example, but by their own people, their own leaders, their own government. They are rendering a unique, a profound service to the spreading of Islam. And I promise you, there are such prominent people from amongst the disbelievers that embracing Islam, that one is amazed and one is shocked. Fridays, I generally, before I start sometimes, give you an account of some of the illustrious people that are coming in and embracing. Priests of the highest order that are embracing Islam. And also professional people from Europe, from the Americas, from Asia, that are embracing Islam. Islam is on the march. Nothing can stem the march of Islam. It is the quality of Islam that worries us. When we sit down, I sit down with the fraternity of the Ulama, what worries us is that too much theory is being accepted and very little practice. Tonight I will give you a talk. About 26 years ago, in the year 1981, I delivered a series of talks in Cape Town that generally, I would say, in my own humble way, took Cape Town by storm. On my return from overseas, one of the first long series of talks I delivered was called Life After Death, delivered in the month of Muharram, commenced in the month of Muharram in 1981. And that was the time, 1981, we commenced with that particular series of talks. That's many years ago. I don't want to go into and tell you the details. Those of you who are here, the elders will know that this set off such a tumult, so many different passages I went through in that early part of my life, that it was amazing that there was so much doubt with regard to, so much uncertainty with regard to there being a life after death. People considered in many instances that once you die, you are dead. That's what death meant. Death carries a meaning, it carries a connotation. Termination, extermination, end, finality of life on earth. We agree, that is a correct description. It is the end of life on earth, definitely. We accept that. But now to call a series of lessons life after death, that is what created the commotion, that is what created the problem. How can there be a life after death? One of the significant teachings of Sayyidina Nabi Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that, look, Allah created life, Allah created death. This human being, we're not concerned here with other species in the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as the angels, such as the jinns, such as the animals, such as the plants, such as the heavenly bodies, such as the earthly bodies. We're not concerned with that here. We are only concerned here with the human creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there a life? Can there be a life after death? Is there life in the grave? There were those who believed impossible. How can they be? We can dig up any grave, yesterday's grave, last year's grave, 10-year-old grave, 100-year-old grave, 1,000-year-old grave, 1,000,000-year-old grave we can dig up. We will see no signs of life. So where does this story come in, that there is a life after death, or that there is a life in the grave, or that there will be a resurrection, or that there will be a day of judgment? This was the problem. And along with the people, I found that there was a certain amount of confusion. And I say this with due respect, and I'm speaking the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those of you who know of that time will know I speak the absolute truth. That there was this confusion. Where is that life? How is that life? Now, as Muslims, Iman requires us, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, to believe in the unseen. To you and me, one of the most important teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Allah's word is absolute haqq. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's word, when established, when proven, is the absolute haqq. It is the absolute truth. I use the word now, undeniable truth. Allah's word is undeniable truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words, teachings, are undeniable truth. We should not even ponder on denying the truth. We should ponder and reflect on accepting the truth, abiding by the truth. Allah and the Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called upon us. This is my messenger. He is my final messenger. I have appointed him as my messenger. He speaks nothing but the absolute truth. Therefore, O mankind, you accept his every word, his every deed, his every practice. That is Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Many ayat I can quote to you. So I am saying to you, if that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do, no. If that is what Allah has commanded, Allah doesn't ask, Allah commands. If that is the decree, divine decree and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not question, we do not look for proof. So there is no need for a Muslim to go and dig into the grave and say, I want proof. Then you can ask by the same token, I don't see Allah. I will only believe in Allah when I see Allah. Same token. Allah says there is a life after death. Rasulullah says there is a life after death. Now we don't see Allah, we don't see a life after death, we don't see life in the grave. Not seeing Allah means you want proof of Allah also, that Allah exists. Allahu Akbar. You see where we are going to. Now I am saying to you, Allah and the Rasul, their word is sufficient for us as proof. We do not have to dig for proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid on the subject of death, we have commenced. This is the third lesson that I am delivering. No, it is the fourth lesson that I am delivering now. We started on Saturday, the 20th of Safar, 1428, the 10th of March, 2007. I have delivered on the subject of life after death, which is a repetition of the lessons that I delivered in 1981. On the 10th of March, 17th of March, and the 24th of March, three lessons have been delivered. I am now going to deliver the fourth lesson tonight on the subject. And today is the 31st of March of the year 2007. It is equivalent to the 12th of Rabiul Awal of the year 1428 after the Hijrah. To give an idea to my respected brothers and sisters of what these lessons are all about, I will be delivering these lessons continuously for almost a year. It will take me to conclude these lessons on Saturday evenings, and many of you are free between Maghrib and Isha. We meet here, a promise which I made to you towards the end of last year, that we will commence with zikr in the masjid as well. So we meet half an hour before Maghrib Salah and we engage for half an hour in zikrullah. We make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter we have azan, we make Maghrib Salah in jama'ah, and then we'll have a lesson between Maghrib and Isha, and then we will discuss after Maghrib life after death and its importance. I have commenced with the Quranic verses. I call it the Quranic perspective on death. As I say, three talks have been delivered, and tonight, without further ado, although it is the night so called, you may have come to listen to the talk on Maulud. Yes, this is also part of this particular talk. It is the relevant teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we are doing Quranic perspective. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about this life after death? And we have commenced on, as I say, the Quranic perspective on death. We continue with that. We examine a few more ayat of the Quran Majeed on the subject of death. The Quran is the glowing book of truth and contains the revelation Wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it serves to inform us about the unseen and the unknown, not as illusions and suppositions, not as conjectures and hypotheses, not as a presentation of theory, but as belief, as haqq, as fact, to be accepted and acted upon with certain knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم حسب الذين اجترحوا السيئات أن نجعلهم كالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سواء محياهم ومماتهم ساء ما يحكمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do those, the fearless ones, the sinners, the evildoers, the non-believers, do those fearless ones who commit sins, who commit evil deeds, think that Allah will treat them like those who have iman, who have true belief, and who do good deeds and pious deeds, considering their lives and their deaths to be equal? Allah poses a question throughout the Quran Majeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala several times in various surahs of the Quran asks and poses questions to us, and the reason for that is that we must consider, we must reflect, we must ponder, we must contemplate. This question is, do those who commit sins in the world, do those who commit sins think that Allah will treat them like those who do not commit sins, who are obedient to Allah, who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you compare that? Allah is saying, those who obey me, those who fear me, those who submit to my commands, can you compare them with those who do not submit to my commands? Can you compare those who obey with those who disobey? But wonderfully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you consider their lives and their deaths to be equal? The way they live, the pious Muslim, obedient Muslim, He makes his zikrullah. He believes in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He observes his salah. He gives his zakah. He fasts in the month of Ramadan. He goes to Hajj Baytullah. He performs and observes the sunnah. He obeys the sharia. He is moral, pious. He purifies himself, cleans himself. He follows the laws of Islam. He follows the rules of life as laid out by Allah and the Rasul of Allah. He's an obedient, pious, Allah-fearing Muslim. Can you compare his life and his death? Here it is. وَأَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ. Can you consider his life and his death to be the equal to be the same as the life and death? Two words. مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ. His living and his dying. Can you compare that of the obedient, submissive Muslim with that of the rebellious, disobedient, transgressing, sinner, evil, disobedient person? Can you compare the two? Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Evil indeed is the decision they take. Evil indeed is the decision that those take who feel that they are equal. Can they be equal? No. Allah is calling upon us to think, to reflect, to ponder, to contemplate. Think, reason, O Muslimin. The Quran is addressed to you directly, but to the whole of mankind in general. Allah is asking us, can the two be equal? Can their life be the same? Can their deaths be the same? Surah Jasiya, Surah number 45, ayat number 21. What does the sinner do? He lives fearless and unrestrained lives. For they are of the view that there is no life after death, or that they shall be saved by their patron gods, idols, spirits, images, and saviors, if there is ever going to be a judgment. They hold no religious convictions in Tawheed, in Risalat, or in Akhirat. And there are no barriers that restrict them from indulgence and from excess. Look at what is happening. Look at what is happening today in Afghanistan. What is happening in Iraq. What is happening in Somalia. What is happening in so many countries of the world. Look at the excesses. Do these people have any fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do they have any restraint? Do they have any kind of control over their minds, over their thoughts, over their willpower? To give instruction, to bombard, to kill, to maim, to commit genocide, to massacre innocent human beings, leave alone being Muslims, innocent people. What kind of people are these? Do you think their judgment would be the same as that of a fearful Muslim? Allahu Akbar, where is the justice of Allah? That is the question that is posed here. Their lack of concern and fear over what happens after death is tragic. Do they think there is no, that only life matters and not death? That is the question Allah is posing. Do they have no fear of what is coming after death? Thus making their decision a pitiful one, for on the coming of death and what follows upon death, they will regret their sad decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, Hatta iza jaa ahadahumul mawtu qala rabbi rji'oon la'alli amalu salihan fabima taraktu kalla. لَعَلِّ أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِن وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. The sinners and the rebellious ones, the rebellious persist with sin and transgression until the time arrives when death comes to any one of them. Look at Allah subhanahu. They continue with their sin and their sinful ways. They continue with their rebellion and their rebellious ways. They continue with their transgression and their oppression of the innocent. They continue with their evil ways. the evil pattern of life which they have set for themselves. They continue. But what happens? There is a day that is going to come. There is a moment in their lives that is going to come. What is that moment? Hatta iza jaa ahadahumul maut. Until the time of death arrives, comes to any one of them. Then, when they see the angels of death appearing, then seeing the punishment, what do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is now the moment of death. These transgressors and sinful ones, not only those who kill innocent Muslims, innocent lives, no, not only them. What is their description? Murderers. That is language. They are murderers. What do these murderers think? What do these murderers think? Here it is. What do these sinful, murder is a sin. What do these sinners think? What do these evil-minded people? Oh yes, and those who are disobedient. Remember, bear in mind, although we are not doing it now tonight, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Islam is not the religion of Muslims only. It is not the sole prerogative and copyright of the Muslims. Islam is the religion for mankind. Allah says, I will accept from the moment, from the advent, from the appearance, from the coming of Sayyidina wa Nabiina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all other religions have been cancelled, abrogated. Only Islam counts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh yes, for the whole of humanity, for the whole of mankind. And every nation on earth has received the message that the only religion acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the deen of Islam, is La ilaha illallah, and the prophethood and the risalat and the teachings and the practices of Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadur Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. General statement applies to the whole of mankind. So bear in mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is a day coming to all these sinners, these disbelievers, these people that go on rejecting the word of Allah, rejecting the teaching and practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is that? Until the time arrives when death comes to any one of them. Then when they see Malak al-Maut, oh yes, you will see. When they see the angel of death coming, looming, appearing in front of them, what happens? When they see it, he pleads. What do they plead? He hears the word of Qala, say, Rabbi Rji'un, O Allah, oh now I see you, now I believe in you. As death strikes, as the feelings in the body, the agony and the pangs of death come, as Malak al-Maut puts in and draws the breath out, draws the soul out, O Rabbi Rji'un, this is the plea, O Allah, O my Rabb, O my Creator, O merciful one, O my sustainer, allow me to return to the life of the world, let me go back to the dunya, so that I may perform good deeds in that life which I have left behind. Rabbi Rji'uni, لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. Oh Allah, please Allah, you are my merciful Allah. Allah, you brought me into... All of a sudden, and the moment when the eyes are about to close, vision is about, sight about, hearing about to go away, heart about to stop beating. Those final moments, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. In that final moments, he begins to plead. They get the shock of their life. They did not believe. They enjoyed life. They never cared. They press the button, bomb them, blow them up, kill them. Oh, not only Muslimin, even their own people in the process. Oh, evil people are evil indeed. Here it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the beautiful, hatta, until one day comes along, one moment in time comes along. Oh, the Quran is beautiful. The Quran speaks to us. Allah speaks to us in a language we can understand. Look how I am delivering the message to you. This translation and commentary I am giving you. Hatta isa jaa. Until That moment in time comes when mouth comes to you, death comes to you. And when you see Malakal, the moment you see Malakal Maut, Allahu Rabbi irji'uni, oh Allah, Rabbi, 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 please irji'uni, let me go back to the dunya. Oh Allah, make one sijda. Allow me to make one. Now I value the sijda. You know, I saw the Muslims prostrating and I used to laugh. 5 times a day they go to pray. I see them. Who doesn't see us? We, Allah has positioned Muslims in every society, everywhere in the world. Subhanallah. Muslims, we are all over the world. Go into any place in the world, you will find us. North Pole, South Pole also, you will find us. And what do we do? We, Muslimin, we must observe our duty. That in itself is a powerful propagation. Here it is. Oh yes. When death comes to any of them, Allah is not saying when death comes to a Muslim only, to any human being. He says and he pleads, oh my Rabb, look at the words, Rabbi, oh my Rabb, oh my Creator, oh my Sustainer. All the time, food was provided, drink was provided, air was provided, wind was provided, water was provided, oh, light was provided, darkness for rest was provided, everything was provided for that human being. But why must he remember it at the moment of death? Here it is. He pleads, oh my Rabb, allow me to return to the dunya so that I may perform good deeds, pious deeds, deeds of obedience in that life which I have left behind. I want to go back. He hasn't died. But once he sees Malakul Maut, he knows, time up. I have to quit. I have to go. Now he pleads. Allah's replies to him in that moment. And look at Allah's reply. One word. Kalla. Impossible. Kalla. Impossible. Never in your life will I allow you to go back. Kalla. No, there is no way you're going to go back. Allahu Akbar. Innaha kalimatun huwa qa'iduha. Now Allah reveals something to us that is very shocking. Absolutely stunning. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? O Muslimin, do you know the nature of these people? Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, never, I will never allow them to go back. Reason, it is a false statement that they make. Allah says they lied their whole life. They lived a lie their whole life. They are lying to me even now. When they are pleading to go back into the dunya, if I do allow them to go back, they will go back and make kufr and shirk and zulm. They will go back perpetrating their evil ways and their sinful ways. Whose statement is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah say, if I do give these kuffar and mushrikeen and zalimeen, if I do allow them, these munafiqeen, to go back into the dunya, you know what they're going to do? Allah is speaking to us. Allah says, you know what they're going to do? Innaha kalimatun huwa qa'iruha. This is a false statement that they are making. They are lying to me. It is a false statement that they issue from their lips. And Allah says, I have created a barzakh, a barrier, until the day they are resurrected. There's no ways I can allow them to go back. Because at the moment of death, a barzakh, this dying moment, a barzakh, remember the word, a barrier, it has been created. There is no way a person who dies, who experiences death, can go back into the dunya. I have created a barzakh, a barrier. Once you die, you go back behind that barzakh, a barrier. There's no ways you can cross the barrier and return to life in the dunya. That is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Mu'minun, 23rd surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 99, ayat number 100. The evildoers and sinners of this world may enjoy the forbidden pleasures and prohibited activities of this life as stipulated in Islam. But unavoidable death is not a pleasant, enjoyable or agreeable event. The warning of what happens, as given in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when death occurs, is not a laughing matter. And Muslims should take note of this crucial happening at the termination of life. what happens is that at the time of death, when the angel of death, called Malak al-Maut, approaches the dying person, the person becomes aware that the moment of death has arrived. The appearance of Malak al-Maut, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, later when we do the ahadith, I'm only doing the Quranic perspective now, the ahadith will come in later lessons, in future lessons. It is said that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explained to us that the sight by any human being of Malak al-Maut in his original shape is such that the person knows immediately that he has to quit the world, that he knows immediately this is the figure of none other but Malak al-Maut, the bringer of death, the angel of death. That will be recognized immediately by every human being. When he approaches the dying person, he becomes aware that the moment of death has arrived, that the angel of death has come. The true mu'min believer accepts the arrival of death as a welcome reprieve from the vicissitudes and agonies of life, of worldly life, and is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that moment, the true believer, the true performer, the one who has lived his life as a mu'min and as a Muslim, you know what happens to him? Allahu Akbar. He welcomes the angel of death. He greets the angel of death in peace and recites the kalima as a departure signal to the life which is to come. In peace, mutma'inna. He goes out. He's prepared. He prepares himself physically and mentally for the removal of the ruh from the body. The unbeliever and stubborn one, however, the sinful and rebellious one, however, Allah, who persisted with evil and a sinful life, disregarding the true way of life, ignored the straight path, who ignored the Sirat al-Mustaqim, will be in shock and he will become appalled and horrified at the appearance of Malak al-Maut, and he will protest, he will appeal for clemency and time from his or her creator and sustainer with the words stated in the ayat of the Quran Majid, O my Rabb, Rabbi, allow me to return so that I may perform good deeds in the life which I have left behind. Please, O Allah, please Malak al-Maut, let me go back. Give me a chance. Having rejected and ignored this withdrawal of life at the moment of death, having considered it a mythical proposition and as a fabrication of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and as a fabrication of the ulama, or as a hypothetical issue to coerce one to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the case of the Muslim, and as a suggestion to be disregarded and discounted by the non-Muslim, Allahu Akbar. This is the immediate response of the dying person. So the Muslim welcomes. He greets Malak al-Maut. He says, I know you do your duty. Alhamdulillah, I'm ready to go. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Now you take my life. And he relaxes completely. Smile comes onto the face. I will tell you as we proceed with these ayat of the Quran Majid. At the moment we are doing what the Quran says about death, about maut. And then we will do what happens afterwards in the grave and so on. We're busy with the Quran at the moment. So having rejected and ignored this withdrawal of life at the moment of death, having considered it as myth, many people do so. Amongst the Muslims there are those, and that I encountered in 81. What was in 1981? Many considered. They should come and tell me, but no, isn't it just made up stories? You know what you are saying? You know what they were? They were those who believed that it's a myth, it is a fable. Yes, I was told this in my face as well, several times in those days, that it's a fabrication. I said, do you think these ahadith, these ayat of the Quran Majid, these ahadith of Rasulullah is all just meant to frighten us? Just to make us obedient Muslims? You really think so? Oh, think very deep, Muslimin. So as far as the Muslim is concerned, he will call it a myth, he will call it a legend, he will call it a fable, he will call it a story made up. And as far as the kafir and the mushrik is concerned, what does he do? Allahu Akbar. As a suggestion to be disregarded and discounted by the Muslim. He says, Ahmed, there's nothing there. Once you're dead, you're dead. That's it. That's why so many people commit suicide. For a Muslim to commit suicide, unthinkable, but it is happening. Allahu Akbar. We proceed. He or she prays that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose authority they suddenly recognize and accept, grant them a long life on earth and become submissive and obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those moments of maut. The response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a remarkable and extraordinary one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that even in their dying stages, they are lying to Allah. They would never perform their duties. They would never do good deeds as they promised. But they will return to their ways of unbelief and mischief making in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, never, kalla, they will never do as they promise. It is but a false statement that they make. They will be unable to return to the world, however, after death, because there is a barzakh, a barrier, until the day they are resurrected and raised again. The barzakh is a barrier that lies between death and a return to the earthly life, which makes the return impossible. The above verses are similar to the following verse of the Quran Majid, which states as follows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يوم يأتي تحويله يقول الذين نسوه من قبل قد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق فهل لنا من شفعاء فيشفعوا لنا أو نرد فنعمل غير الذي كنا نعمل قد خسروا أنفسهم وضل عنهم ما كانوا يفترون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day when the outcome thereof shall come, those who had forgotten it before shall say, surely the messengers of our Rabb, our sustainer, did indeed bring the truth to us. There in the moment of death a person will remember, and there he will recall, but Jesus brought the message to us, but Moses brought the message to us. Every prophet that preceded, the people at that moment, they see Malak al-Maut, they will say, but we did get the message. Allah allow us to go back. Oh yes, now we remember, we did. Whole life they forgot. But all of a sudden now, in the moment of death, they remember. The recall, the memory all comes flooding back. Should one wait, Muslimin? Should we wait until the Quran is saying this about the Kufar and Mushrikeen? The message is for you and for me. What is that message? Allah and the Rasul, are we listening? Are we obeying? Or are we going to make the moment of death when Malak al-Maut appears to make an admission that we should have been submissive and obedient Muslims? Are we going to wait for that moment? In the meantime, we forget Allah, we forget Rasulullah, we forget our salah, our namaz, we forget the sunnah, Quran, and all the other activities, actions, good pious deeds of a Muslim. We forget that we should be obedient, Quran and sunnah, we should follow the sharia. Is it at that moment that we're going to recall and remember? On the day, Allah says, يَوْمَ يَعْتِي تَعَوِينَ, on the day when the outcome thereof shall come, those who had forgotten it before shall say, surely the messengers of our Rabb sustainer did indeed bring the truth to us. Are there any intercessors to intercede for us? Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. In the dunya, even amongst us Muslims, there are many who say that, you know, I follow a certain peer, a certain sheikh. You know what they are going to say on that day? You know what the Christians will say? When Malak al-Maut is in front of their eyes, they will say, but Jesus is our savior. The Jews will say, but Moses is our savior. And people of other religions will call upon, the Zoroastrians will say, but Zoroastria is our savior. And the Buddhists will say, the Lord Buddha is our savior. Allahu Akbar. What will the Muslims say? Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani is my savior. Nizamuddin Ajmeri is my savior. I have no problems. I held on to them. I held on to their kurtas. I held on to their aprons. I believed in them. Some will say, no, Shaykh Yusuf Jain Fori Karamat, I held him tight. I held him fast. He's going to save me. And so on and so forth. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Amazing. Allahu Akbar. Are there any intercessors to intercede for us? Allahu Akbar. at that moment of death, you are asking for intercessors, somebody to save you, because you held on to somebody. You go on with your pranks, you go on with your nonsense, you go on with your mischief, but you say, well, I believe. Oh yes, there will be those who will say, but Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Shafi, he will make shafa'at for us, he is our salvation, he is our savior. Where did that belief come into the Muslimin? Tonight is the night of Maulud. Many places people will be standing up in Maulud. Did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever say, stand up for me? Did he ever say, worship me? Did he ever say, plead and ask? Oh, I will be the intercessor, your intercessor on the day of judgment by the permission of Allah. But I cannot say. Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Who is Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala? The daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, most beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His daughter, Fatima. He loved her greatly, of course. And what? She is also the most prominent, the leader of the ladies of Jannah. All the ladies of Jannah that go into Jannah, she is their Amir. Amira. She is their leader. Allahu Akbar. What a position. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime tells her that, oh my daughter Fatima, I cannot save you. I cannot save you from the anger. I cannot save you from the wrath of Allah. I cannot save you from the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I say and you say? We say, no, this sheikh, that peer, that one can save us. Where are we going to, O Muslimin? Have we debunked our religion and lowered it to such a category and a state where we are acting like unbelievers, like the non-believers, like the non-Muslimin? Where are we going to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are there any intercessors to intercede for us? Or can we be sent back to earth to perform good acts contrary to what evil and sin we used to perform in the life before? They have indeed ruined their souls, and that which they used to fabricate has failed them. Here it is. Here's the answer and the reply of Muslimin. All the things we used to fabricate, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never taught us. He never told us he's our savior. He says, I will intercede for you by the permission of Allah. Maqam-e Mahmood. I will ask Allah to have mercy on my ummah. To have mercy on my ummah. I cannot save this one and save, nor can that person. We ourselves project ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will save us. He never said that. It is up to us, each one of us. Oh, Deen of Islam. Allah is not saying leave your businesses, leave your industries, leave your shops, leave your income, leave your professions, leave your medical, if you are a doctor or a nurse or whatever profession you are. Allah is not saying you must have a balance in your life. Yes, you must rest, but you must sleep. You must work, but you must also rest. All these things are part of life. There must be a balance in life. There must be justice towards. You must look after your wife and children, your family, your home also. We need an income for all that. Very good. But then to concentrate on a level whereby we ignore our deen, 5 times salah. Can we say, no, I can't do it? Allah's command. I cannot. I simply cannot say, I cannot do that. And salah, everything hangs on salah, depends on salah. On that day, I'll read this. On the day when the outcome thereof shall come, those who had forgotten it before shall say, surely the messengers of our Rabb did indeed bring the truth to us. This applies to all of mankind. That is why Allah has used the term, whether he's a Christian or a Jew or a Zoroastrian or a Buddhist, whoever. All of them will admit when death comes along, all will say, oh, but we did get the message. Oh, we did get the message. The messengers of Allah did pass a message on to us. But then they will also say, are there any intercessors to intercede for us? Is there anybody that can save us this day? Or can we be sent back to earth to perform good acts contrary to what evil and sin we used to perform in the life before? Oh Allah, is there any way we can go back and correct ourselves? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then قَدْ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. Allah says they have indeed, this is the pronouncement and the sentence of Allah, they have indeed ruined their souls, and that which they used to fabricate has failed them. They lived in the world, they made all these fabrications. This one will save, that peer will save me, that sheikh will save me, that maulana will save me, this one and that one. Mankind came out of all these false stories and fabrications. All of them will fail us at that moment of death and after death. Surah Araf, 7th Surah of the Quran Majid, ayat number 53. The sinful and transgressing folk will, however, by the pronouncement of Allah, not bend their ways. We do one more ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبَصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَارْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. If only they could see the scene when the guilty will hang their heads before their Rabb saying, oh our Rabb, we have seen and we have heard, so return us to the world so that we may carry out good deeds. We are now certainly convinced of the truth. Although this ayat applies to the Akhirah, to the day of judgment, I have brought it here for the moment of death, reason being the same scenario. You see, death is exit from life. Once we exit this life, we go into the Akhirah. Then of course the resurrection and the day of judgment will take place. As at the moment of death we realize the truth, so also on the day of judgment, day of Qiyamah, we will also realize the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muslimin, O mankind, if you could only see the scene on the day of judgment when the guilty will hang their heads before their Rabb saying, O our Rabb, Rabbana Abasarna, we have seen and we have heard, Abasarna wasami'na, and we have heard, we have seen and we have heard, oh Allah, we have seen you descending on your throne onto the field of judgment, oh Allah, now we believe, we see, therefore we believe. When we see Malak al-Maut, that is the time we're going to say, that is why the ayat I brought in. When we see Malak al-Maut, we say, oh, but now I see that. My whole life I did not believe in a life in the grave or a life after death. But now I see you, Malak al-Maut, now I realize. Haq, what Allah said and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I know now it is the haq. Oh, Malak al-Maut, I see you, but how can it be? The moment of death. I see you, now I believe, now I have the proof. My whole life I was looking for proof. In other words, I'm repeating that. In other words, Allah's word was not good enough in the dunya, while we were living, while we were well, while we were healthy, while we were running around, while we were earning, while we were eating, while we were drinking, while we were enjoying life, all the pleasures of life. We didn't want to believe that. We waited and we waited until maut to believe in Allah, the word of Allah, the word of Rasulullah. Here it is. Allahu Akbar. On that day when they see Allah, on that day when they see Qiyamah, on that day when they have been resurrected and brought into the field of judgment, are we going to wait until the day of Mahshar and the day of Qiyamah? Allahu Akbar. And they will hang their heads in shame and say, oh our Rabb, we have seen and we have heard. So, oh Allah, please return us to the dunya so that we may carry out good deeds and pious deeds. We are now certainly convinced of the truth. Look how man, what man does. And I am saying these and bringing these in so that we may be aware that, look, don't wait for that moment. We don't need concrete, substantial evidence and proof. Allah's word, Rasulullah's word. Our iman is that, our belief, our faith is that. Whatever Allah and the Rasul say is the absolute haqq and it is the truth. Surah Sajdah, Surah number 32, ayat number 12. It is a pity that men generally realize their folly after the truth has appeared in front of them. the word and promise of Allah Ta'ala and the messengers of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is not good enough for us until proof is provided. This is also the foolishness and shallowness of a great number of Muslims who refute the truth about belief in the unseen, as Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has commanded us to believe. And they even doubt and are hesitant about hadith sayings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam unless proof is provided in material and in tangible form. The word of Allah Ta'ala, the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not good enough for many of us. They need evidence of the truth, and this evidence shall be provided to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the moment of death, and also in the mahshar, when mankind is gathered for the final trial of life on the day of judgment. As at the moment of death, so also on the field of judgment, which we call the mahshar, will men see the truth. At the time of death, when Malak al-Maut comes to remove the soul, to cause the death of a person, and when they see the exactness revealed about the resurrection, then only shall man acknowledge the truth. For they see the proof, and their condition then shall be a pitiful and a shameful one. They will hang their heads before their Rabb in shame, pleading for forgiveness and mercy, for pardon and clemency, which shall not be forthcoming because of the barzakh and the barrier between the life in the grave and after resurrection. There is actually no world to return to, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have destroyed and eliminated by His command the world. With the kun fayakun, Allah brought this universe into existence. With the kun fayakun, it will be removed. It is on that day that mankind will realize, when Allah holds the entire universe, seven heavens and seven earths, in the right palm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlike the hand of the palm, but on the right side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time, with the kun, it will be there, and with the fayakun, all this universe will disintegrate in the puff of dust, it will be eliminated and disappear. Let us Muslims remember, therefore, Allahu yatawaffal anfusa hina mawtiha wallati summa tamut fi manamiha fayumsiku allati qada alayha almawta wa yursilu al-ukhra ila ajalin musamma inna fi dhalika la'ayati liqawmi yatafakkarun. This ayat I will comment on next Saturday, inshallah, where Allah says, Allah withdraws the souls of human beings at the time of their death. Allah withdraws the souls of human beings at the time of their death. And Allah also, during their sleep of those who do not die, Allah withdraws the soul of those who go to sleep is in the power, in the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then withholds the souls of those upon whom death has been decreed and releases the other souls until the appointed term. The soul is in the hands of Allah, in the power, in the qudrat of Allah. When we go to sleep, the soul is in the hands of Allah, and it is not within. It is within us, only a fraction of it is within us that keeps us alive. But sleep is like death, and Allah puts back the soul. We wake up in the morning, that is because Allah has put back and returned the soul into our bodies. That already should be a lesson to us of how little control we have over our ruh. Where we go to sleep, we fast asleep, dreamland, yes, that is a sign that soul is in the power, in the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I return the soul to you if your time is not up. If your time is up, that's it. Your soul will not be returned. And Allah releases the other souls until the appointed term. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O mankind, inna fi dhalika la ayatil liqawmi yatafakkaroon. In that surely are signs for a people who reflect. In these words, we will come to an end for today's lesson. And inshallah, next Saturday, between Maghrib and Isha, those who want to come a little earlier, we will make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With these words, we come to an end and we make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must help us, me in particular, that the words that we are doing, the talks that we are giving, will be food for thought for many of us that we also must learn. We need to restrain and control ourselves. Let us not become so much in love with the dunya and in love with ourselves that greed takes over our lives. Selfishness takes, that we only have one component in our mind, which is dunya, dunya, dunya. Oh yes, there is an akhirah. And akhirah begins with maut, with death. Let us study. Look at the many ayat in the Quran, Majid, that tell us about death. So let us concentrate and think about that and prepare ourselves for the life that is to come in the grave. And thereafter, we can inshallah prepare for the akhirah. Jazakumullah. May Allah accept our du'as, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. جزاكم الله أخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين أزانا